Hi, good morning. I'm trying to reach Todd Mosco.
This is Todd.
Todd, my name is John, and I'm calling on a recorded line. I'm a case intake specialist for the Roundup lawsuit. Have you or someone you know used Roundup and later developed a health complication?
Well, I talked to someone a while back.
Okay.
So I'm eating my lunch, and I'm on a schedule, but that's fine.
That's fine. Are you saying you signed with a law firm already?
No, I didn't. I sort of just kind of forgot about it or dropped it or whatever. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I used Roundup
mm-hmm.
in a city property, and I used it on, for years in an alley that's a brick alley, you know, to get weeds and grass from growing up in between. I wasn't exactly dousing myself with it, and I wasn't using it every day, but I would use it several times over the summer for several years.
Okay. Did you get injured by Roundup, though? Have you been harmed?
Well, I've subsequently been diagnosed with a rare lymphoma, which, you know, I'm sure people on the lawsuit side would say could have been, you know, was caused by that, but I'm not sure how you prove that.
Well, you know, you don't have to prove that you used Roundup or exposed to it, but you do have to provide proof of a medical injury, how the law firms would require that. Names of the doctors, hospitals, names of the doctors that treated you or the hospitals that treated you and diagnosed you. What was the medical injury? What was the medical diagnosis?
Okay, I wouldn't refer to it as an injury. I'd refer to it as a disease. Okay. It's not like I was in an accident.
Well, if you're going to participate in a lawsuit, you're suing on behalf of an injury and recovering damages, getting compensated for damages. And the lawsuit for Roundup links a specific type of injury, medical injury, to the chemicals present in Roundup.
Okay. So if I tell you what my diagnosis is, you're going to check it on the list and see if that's one of the possible.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, my technical diagnosis is, you've probably never heard of it. Called mantle cell lymphoma.
Mantle cell lymphoma, okay.
Yeah. It's referred to as a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yeah. Mantle cell. So there's many different types of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and mantle cell lymphoma is a type of lymphoma that is a qualifying injury for Roundup. So the law firms that we work with would file a lawsuit on your behalf, and it's part of a large legal action called a mass tort. And the law firm would represent you individually to get compensation on a personal level. So it's unlike a class action, like all the plaintiffs are treated equally and settlements reach, they all get split that settlement equally. You are classed together with many other individual plaintiffs. However, the amount of damages is actually a very personal calculation. It's based on your own personal experience. So the law firms we work with would help you get compensated for damages. They don't require proof that you used Roundup, although any evidence that you have to present to the firm as to support your claim, that would be helpful. What they do rely on is a questionnaire, an affidavit, or an attestation describing the circumstances of how you were exposed to Roundup. Is that something you'd like to see if you meet the criteria to participate in this Roundup lawsuit?
You mean it's something you'd send me to take a look at?
Well, we do it over the phone right now. Would you like to see if you meet the criteria to participate in the Roundup lawsuit?
Yeah, go ahead. I only have a few minutes, but if it doesn't take long, go ahead.
Okay, we'll try to do our best. And then did you already get in a – I'm sorry?
What's your name again?
My name is John Maurer. I'm a case intake specialist. I'm not a lawyer. What I do is conduct interviews to see if a person meets the criteria. And if you do, I would connect you to with a firm, and you would be signing a legal agreement towards the end of our call, along with a release – authorization to release medical records. Before I go any further, did you already get an attorney to assist you with filing a claim?
No, I've been contacted similar calls like this, but I haven't retained anyone, so no.
Okay. Are you willing to affirm under penalty that you have not sought legal representation, advice from another law firm or attorney for this specific matter, but most importantly, or signed documents with another law firm? Are you willing to affirm under penalty that's true? You have not?
Yeah, that's true. I haven't signed anything or taken
okay.
any action.
Have you had more than one non-Hodgkin's lymphoma diagnosis?
You mean by more than one entity?
No. Have you had more than, have you had multiple diagnoses, in other words, of your ailment?
Well, I'm not sure of the answer to that. I've had, it's been diagnosed and I've been under treatment and monitored.
Okay. And so you haven't had been diagnosed with a different type of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
No, just the one type, if that's your question.
Yes, that is the question. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you would be filing this claim for yourself because you are considered the injured party.
Okay.
And then you are living, and this is a case. When did you receive your diagnosis? Approximate dates of.
It was in 2019.
Okay. Do you remember the month?
No, I'd have to look.
If you were to guess the month, what would you choose? Would you choose winter months like January through February or March? Or would you choose spring like March through, say, May, or summer, May through, say, August or September?
It was probably mid-year 2019.
Oh, I'm going to put June then. I'll put June 30th, 2019. And these are approximate dates. Okay.
Yeah.
So
and
this,
I was only diagnosed because I was at a dentist who's actually a personal friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He noticed an enlarged tonsil.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the general practice guy. He referred me to ear, eye, nose, and throat. They suggested surgery to remove it and biopsy.
Biopsy
is the diagnosis.
Thankful for your dentist then, huh, for making observation that he knew was not right. Is there any other person that you know that might be a good candidate for this lawsuit?
Not offhand.
When you received this diagnosis for your non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, were you between the ages of 18 and 79 when you got the diagnosis?
Yes.
Okay. And then, odd question, but I'm going to ask it. Do you have a birth certificate?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And then to the best of your knowledge, and then now we're talking about attestation or kind of attesting to your usage of Roundup. How many years would you say you used Roundup?
Oh, boy.
What number comes to mind quickly?
Maybe over 12 to 15 years.
Okay. I'm going to put 12 years conservatively.
I've been in 20 years and maintaining the out. So.
Okay. And have you sprayed Roundup for at least 10 days or more?
I'm not sure I follow. You mean 10 days total?
Yeah, 10 days total. At least 10 days during that 12-year period.
Well, over that 12 years, I'm sure I would have done it a couple of times a summer, like spring and midsummer at least over 10 years. So, yeah, that's probably about right.
Thank you, Todd. And then am I speaking to you on a cell phone or a landline?
Cell phone.
Okay. And you're a citizen of the United States?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been diagnosed with HIV or AIDS, autoimmune disease, hepatitis C, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, lupus, Epstein-Barr, hepatitis B?
No.
Okay. Have you ever had an organ transplant?
No.
Okay. Have you ever required chemotherapy for a cancer treatment other than for a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma diagnosis?
No.
Okay. And I already asked if you're an organ transplant, right?
I asked
that question. Okay. And then no to chemo. Is there a history of cancer in your family?
Well, I think it's hard to find any family that doesn't have some history, but no one with this specific, you know, it's with breast cancer and, you know, things like that.
Okay, Todd, thank you. I'm going to be gathering information about yourself. This would help us put together a legal agreement that authorizes the law firm to represent you to get compensated for damages. Your legal first name is Todd, T-O-D-D?
Yes.
Middle initial?
C as in Edward.
E as in Edward, thank you. And the last name is spelled M as in Botel, O-S-K-O?
That's correct.
Okay. And do you have a suffix to your name, like a junior, senior, first, second, or third?
No.
Your gender, please?
Male.
And your marital status?
Single.
And the law firm obviously is going to request medical records to confirm your past diagnosis and any ongoing treatments. That's to calculate estimation of damages. The law firm, to request medical records, they're going to need your social to request medical records. Can I get at least the last four of your social?
9265.
Let me repeat that, 9265?
Yes.
Thank you. And your date of birth, please?
February 11, 1961.
Happy birthday, belated birthday, February 11th, 1961.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That puts you, Bear with me here. You are officially 64 years young. And did you know I just had to enter that in my calculator multiple times because my fat fingers could not hit the buttons on the calculator correctly. Okay. how did you first learn of a connection between Roundup and your injury?
That's a good question. I must have been solicited somehow.
Okay. The most common response is people see either ads on television or they may have seen an advertisement on social media or the internet.
I mean, that's possible. It's been several years since I talked to someone about this, and sort of off and on, they'd contact me or I wouldn't call them back. So I couldn't tell you specifically. It's very possible.
When did you first become aware that your injuries may have been related to Roundup?
Obviously, when I talk to someone similar to you, when they explain it all to me.
Okay. And that was a couple of years ago?
Yeah, probably the first contact I had, at least.
I'm going to say like 3 years from today's date. Would that be all right?
Yeah, it could be about right. I lose track of time.
Okay. I put 2022, February 20th, 2022. Okay. Now the firm does ask for height, weight, and your height, please.
5'6".
And your weight?
The weight's probably about 150.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then any forms that you sign, copies will be sent to your email address. I have an email record, todd.e.mosco@gmail.com.
Yes.
And this phone number we've established is your cell phone. It's 717-514-5791. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to go back to asking questions about the usage of Roundup. How many times per month did you use Roundup?
One to two at the most.
One to two. Okay, I'll put one.
I'd be out in the alley and I'd spray it. I wouldn't be out every day spraying. I'd spray it once and see how it did and go back out if there was still weeds and things like that a week or so later.
Okay. And did you spray Roundup for at least one full year before your diagnosis?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then the law firms does ask for like approximate time frame or dates that you would have been using Roundup. And so can you start with a year that you may have started using Roundup and then a year that you probably stopped using Roundup?
Well, I bought the house in 2000, so it would have been shortly after that. So it could have been 2002, 2003, up until a couple of years ago. I'm still using something. I just don't know whether it's Roundup. They still sell it.
So I'm going to put 2003.
Okay.
And then you're still using something, but you don't know what it is.
Right.
What's your most recent memory of Roundup, last time you used it, approximately?
A couple months back.
Okay.
Well, yeah, fall.
Well, say
I go between two homes now, so I'm not there to maintain it that much, but I'm pretty sure over the a lot of grass and crap growing up, and I was out spraying something on it.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put January 1st, 2003 is when you approximate date you started using Roundup, and then the approximate date you stopped using Roundup, September 30th, 2024. Would that be okay?
That could be right, yeah.
Approximate dates, okay. It's just I say approximate, but they still ask me to put a month and a day, which, yeah. Okay. Did you use any protective gear when applying Roundup?
No.
Okay. And then where did you apply it, and how big of an area was it applied?
It would have been a alley between two row homes, brick alley.
Okay. Residential setting?
Yes.
Okay. And then how big of an area was it applied?
Well, geez, I don't know. What's the average alley size? I'm back to budget, square feet or anything. Yeah.
Would you go be if you were to what comes to mind, like feet or yards or a block, half a block?
No, not half a block, but not feet. I would say yards.
Okay. 100 yards?
Well, I don't know what the length of the house would be.
What's your best guess?
I told you I'm not good at these kind of things. The alley might be 10 feet wide. Let me think. yeah, at least 10 feet wide, 12 feet wide, and yeah, it might be 75, 80 feet long.
Okay.
Maybe closer to 75. I mean, next time I'm home, I can measure if it helps you guys.
How did you apply it? Home yard maintenance covering roughly 75 feet?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and then what state did you use the product?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, thank you. And this, your exposure, meaning your usage of the product, would have been in a residential setting?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, directly sprayed, Roundup, and that was direct. You did personally spray it. And because you personally sprayed it, you can say 100% of the time when it was being applied, you were present. And then this is a rough estimate. How many exposures to Roundup have you had in your lifetime? What's the number that quickly comes to mind?
I don't know. Do the math. I would probably do it at least twice over summer, 2 weeks summer for 15 years. It's just part of maintaining the house.
That's probably about 60 times or so.
Yes, that's what it calculates to.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Do you get your water from a well?
No, it's city water.
Have you ever used any other herbicides?
Yeah, I'm sure I've used things like I had poison ivy growing upside the house, so I bought something that's supposed to kill poison ivy. I had a vine that had mold on it, so I used something that's chrome or something like that that's supposed to have mold. So a couple of things like that.
Okay. Do you know what kind?
I couldn't tell you. It's whatever I picked up at the nursery.
Okay. Have you ever been exposed to benzene or Agent Orange?
I don't believe so.
Okay. And what type of Roundup did you use? Was it the concentrate version or the premix?
I was assuming it would be the premix because I wasn't
okay.
adding water to anything.
And do you recall when and where Roundup was purchased?
Well, while I was at that house, I used the same nursery. It was called Highland Gardens in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So that's most likely where I got it.
Highland Gardens?
Yeah, unless I might have been in a Lowe's or Home Depot once in a while and picked some up, but that was the nursery I usually went to.
Did you say it was in Chester, PA?
No, Camp Hill, PA.
Camp Hill?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's in Cumberland County.
Okay.
Where are you at?
I'm in Irvine, California.
Yeah, nice. How nice for you. It's not on fire, is it?
No, not here in Southern.
Well, then how nice for you.
Yes, indeed. That's true. Todd, do you have any receipts of a Roundup purchase?
No, I don't.
Do you have any bottles in your possession, Roundup bottles?
I might. Like I said, I'm still using something. I assume it's Roundup, but it might be another brand. But it's at the house in Harrisburg, and I'm at a second home in Delaware right now. So I couldn't.
Oh, whereabouts in Delaware?
Rehoboth Beach.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I don't go too often to reveal personal information, but I lived in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware myself.
You're kidding?
No, I lived on 333 Laurel Street, a couple blocks away from, you know where Silver Lake is and Rehoboth Elementary?
I'm actually, my house is in what's considered a Silver Lake subdivision.
Yeah.
Like down the street around the corner from Silver Lake.
And then my mom, before I came into the picture, my parents lived on Scarborough. I'm sure you know that street.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So funny.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. I miss Rehoboth. Okay, so back to work. Sorry. It is a great town. Great town. Have you ever smoked?
No.
Are you currently employed?
Retired.
Okay. And have you lost any time from work because of surgery or treatment related to your condition? No.
Well, I might have lost. I mean, a couple of days. I had some minor surgeries in the diagnosis, so I might have lost a couple of days in there.
Okay. Okay. And do you remember those dates by any chance? Todd? Todd, are you there? Did I lose you?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It sounds like you're moving in the car.
Oh, I thought you were talking. I've got in the car to make my appointment.
I switched
from the AirPods to the car. I thought I lost you. I'm still here.
Okay, great. The question was, like, we asked if you lost any time from work because of surgery or treatment. You said yes. And then the follow-up question is, do you recall the dates of when you may have been out of work?
I don't. I'd have to look at the dates of the surgery and assume it was just shortly after the surgery.
Okay, so I'm going to make a note. May have lost a few days of work due to surgery, but unsure of dates. Fair enough?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Okay, and
I didn't lose months. The first surgery to remove the tonsil was painful, but I was still able to work a day or so after that. Then I had to remove lymphs under the arm, and it was kind of the same thing.
Okay. So what I'm going to say is may have lost a few days of work due to various treatments.
Surgery,
treatments, but unsure of dates. That's fine.
Correct.
Okay. Have you ever been in the military?
No.
Have you ever been involved in other lawsuits?
No.
Have you ever filed a disability or workers' compensation claim?
No.
What about a bankruptcy?
I'm not overly litigious. Which is why I never followed up on this before. But no, I never filed a bankruptcy.
Okay, great. And then have you ever been convicted of a crime other than a minor traffic offense?
No.
Okay. And then do you recall the name of the doctor that diagnosed your medical condition or treated your medical condition?
Well, there were several because it was misdiagnosed to begin with, and then I changed oncologists. And it was diagnosed correctly, confirmed with two other hospitals because I just didn't like the treatment options. So I actually shopped around. So.
I'll bet you remember the doctor that got it right, that oncologist that got it right.
Yeah, it was the Hillman Cancer Center, which is part of UPMC.
Okay.
In central Pennsylvania. And that doctor was Chip Renninger.
Chip Renninger.
Yeah. And...
found him. He's in Camp Hill, PA?
Yeah, he's in Camp Hill.
Okay.
And then I went to, I didn't like to say their only option was to treat it with chemotherapy. I then went to University of Penn, although I can't give you, I don't remember that doctor's name. They confirmed it, but it was the same thing, chemotherapy, which I didn't like. And then I actually, in talking to them, was reading about targeted drug therapies. They told me the only people that do that is MD Anderson in Houston. So now I'm going to MD Anderson in Houston. And that's who I see.
Okay, good. All right. But it started off with Dr. Chip Renninger. He's an oncologist, and he would have been at Camp Hillman Cancer Center?
That's correct.
Okay. And so Hillman Cancer Center, I found an address, 5115 Center Avenue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Look for one in Camp Hill. I mean, they have one
in Camp Hill?
In Pittsburgh, and they have one in Camp Hill because they expanded and bought out practices in Camp Hill.
That address is, what's your zip code?
In Harrisburg, it's 17102.
Okay. Because when I, the reason why I ask is because when I search for UPMC Hillman Cancer Center, it doesn't come up Camp Hill. It came up Mechanicsburg.
Yeah, okay, that's the one they moved.
They did? Okay. All right, good.
Yeah, they moved from Camp Hill to Mechanicsburg.
Okay.
Just like within the past year.
Okay, great. Okay. Let me just use that address. Okay, so that address happens to be 2035 Technology Parkway. And that's in Mechanicsburg, PA, 17050. Copy.
Now, they would have been, well, he would have corrected the original oncologist diagnosis. But I still see him, but as a secondary in between visits to Houston.
Uh-huh.
So if you want the primary oncologist, that would be MD Anderson in Houston, and the oncologist is Han Lee.
I think this is a good starting point for the firm.
Okay.
And then the treating... And I apologize. I've got so wrapped up in getting the diagnosis medical information. Dr. Charles Renninger, oncologist at, one second, Hillman Cancer Center. You were treated at, what was the name of the place that you were treated at? You're receiving treatment?
I'm receiving, I'm actually, my primary care is MD Anderson.
MD Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
And where are they located?
They're in Houston.
Okay. Oh, I see. You go all the way out to Houston for a treatment?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I do, because they're the ones that agreed to treat me without 5 months of chemotherapy.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Their whole philosophy is it's a very... at this point, slowly progressing, it could pick up or it could never, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So their philosophy is, if it's not affecting you, why kill you with chemotherapy? Let's wait till it affects you, and then we have targeted drug treatments we can try before chemotherapy.
Okay.
They're actually the number one cancer center in the country. If you Google top 10 cancer centers, they're always going to come up.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. Do you know what facility you went to? Was it in Houston or was it in on what looks like there's four. There's four different. Do you remember the street name?
Hang on.
Holcomb, Louetta,
yeah,
Katy
Holcomb.
Freeway, Holcomb. Okay.
Holcomb.
That looks like it's the main one.
It's like 1515 Holcomb or something like that.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And the primary is Hunley, H-U-N, Han Julie, actually, H-U-N, J-U, and then Lee, L-E-E.
One second here.
Good. No, I'll take it up there. No, I think I'm good. All set. Thank you. Excuse me, I'm going in for a haircut, but I can keep chatting if you need.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
If you hear me talking to other people, it's just, you know, the kid is going to cut my hair.
No problem. Thank you. 1515. I'm actually typing in this information. Holcomb.
Okay.
Boulevard. Houston. Texas. 77030. And then I have a phone number. Okay, I found the phone number, 713-792-2121. And I'm sorry, did you sharing with me the name of the doctor at MD Anderson Cancer Center?
Yes.
And what was that doctor's name, I'm sorry?
Han.
H-A-N?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Ju, J-U.
Okay.
And then Lee, L-E-E. He's Asian, obviously.
Yes, I see. And he's at Anderson?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, I found them. Dr. Lee Hoon-Ju Lee, MD.
There you go.
Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Department of Lymphoma and Myeloma at the University of Texas, MD Anderson Cancer Center. Okay.
That's correct. He wears three hats. He teaches because MD Anderson is associated with the University of Texas.
Teaching hospital.
Part of the University of Texas Medical Center. So he teaches. He's in... he does research for him, and then he's in clinic a couple of days a week.
Thank you. Okay, I understand.
So he's not a conventional doctor.
Now, when's the approximate dates that you received treatment? When did you start getting treatment from MD Anderson Cancer Center?
I probably went down there. It was shortly after the pandemic.
So
now we'd be in 2020.
The pandemic's 2020. And then would it be 2021?
No, I was diagnosed in 19. So I think I had the surgery in January. Well, I'm losing track.
It's okay.
It was probably early spring that I went down to MD Anderson for the first time.
During the pandemic?
Yeah.
Okay, so I could say March or April?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put March for the time being.
Because it was before vaccine, so I had to go through this whole, I had to go down there and stay a week because I had to be tested, then I had to wait 3 days for the test results before they'd let me in the facility.
You know, I'm going to put April 1st, 2020, so it's somewhere in that time range. Because March is probably when they started releasing the stay-at-home orders. And then within a few weeks, they probably had protocols of, like, what to do when people were coming into hospitals. So I'll put April. And if I'm more wrong, I mean, the medical records will show.
Let's see. I might be able – I'm looking at a calendar. I don't know how long this will take. 2020.
Do you have any medical records that confirm the cancer diagnosis? Like, for example, do you have access to MyChart logins or have any records?
Yes.
Okay, good. The law firm may ask for some printout with your name on it and a date and the diagnosis, just as a starting point, because I can't tell you how many cases that we sign up, but it's fraud. Like they've never had a diagnosis, but sometimes what they do ask is like, do you have any documentation that you could show up front? Cause the law firm will request medical records. And oftentimes the hospitals charge pretty expensive fees to reproduce these records. And, can you imagine like law firms taking cases, spending money on medical records to find out that they don't exist, That's a shame.
I'm sure it'd be easy enough to go on my chart and screenshot.
Yes.
A diagnosis or something like that.
Yes, that's enough. Perfect. Okay, great. All right. And then what type of treatment did you receive for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? Did you get a stem cell transplant?
No. The only treatment they gave me was for about 8 months. I was on, they call it Rituxan.
Uh-huh.
It's a drug administered usually in conjunction with chemotherapy, but it's not chemotherapy.
Okay.
So the cancer was showing a little more active. They treated me with that drug. It's an intravenous drug for about 8 months. And then they stopped and they've just been monitoring me since.
Okay. Rituxan, R-I-T-U-X-A-N?
R-I-T-U-X-I-N. That sounds right.
That's it, yeah.
Other names, it might be either Rituxan or sometimes I saw it listed as Rituximab, I think.
It's an antibody treatment for NHL. Okay. All right, and then now I can gather your address, please.
My home address?
Yes, please. Mailing address?
253 Boat Street, B-O-A-S. That's in Harrisburg.
B-O-A-S or B-O-A-S?
B as in boy, O-A-S.
Oh, found it. Boas Street. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Different people have different places.
I was going to say Boas, but yeah, Boas Street. 253
yeah,
Boas Street. Street. That's Harrisburg 17102.
Yes.
Perfect. That's a house, not an apartment?
It's a house, correct.
Okay, thank you. And the law firm does ask for an emergency contact in case something unfortunate happens to you. This ensures they can continue your case for your loved ones. Typically, they only contact your emergency contact if you can't be reached for an extended period of time. Who would you like to list as your emergency contact, and does that person live with you?
Answering your second question first, the person does not live with me.
Uh-huh.
But I'll give you the contact I list on all medical, which is my power of attorney for medical. It's my niece.
Oh, your niece? Okay, very good.
Yeah. And her name is, let me find the number. Of course, you don't have my number.
I'm sorry?
Amy.
Amy?
Her name is Amy
McGill.
M as in Mary, A-G-I-L-L.
Okay. And her phone number? Yeah, thank you.
717-773-6002.
Okay, let me repeat that to make sure I have this correct. I have Amy McGill, AmyMagill, phone number 717-773-6002.
That sounds right.
Perfect. We have permission to contact her if necessary?
Sure.
Or the law firm does? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say, Todd, thank you for being patient as I ask you these questions. You're a good candidate for this lawsuit. You can attest that you used Roundup. It's simple. It's just attesting to and describing how you may have used the product. Most importantly, is proving that you were injured. And the science is the basis of the lawsuit. There's plenty of scientific evidence that links your type of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma to the chemicals that are present in Roundup. This is public and published information. The estimated date of your diagnosis would have been June 2019. You're filing this claim for yourself. We've confirmed the spelling of your first and last name, your last four of your social, your date of birth, your age. We've confirmed your contact information, both your email and your phone number and your residence. We gathered information about medical information, like who originally diagnosed you or who diagnosed you with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, who treated you. I didn't ask how NHL has affected your life or impacted your life. So I need to ask, how has your diagnosis of lymphoma impacted your life?
At this point, it's been more emotional than physical because, fortunately, the cancer is not very aggressive. So I was in a treatment that had, few if any side effects that reduced a couple of the masses they saw forming. So then they just went back to monitoring. So, the biggest effects has been, anxiety, some stress, and then, of course, the traveling down to Houston and the expense of that, which is on me. I didn't have to travel to Houston for cancer, but I do.
Okay. Anxiety and stress related to diagnosis and treatment.
Sure.
I just made it brief. Okay. And then, all right, so what you can expect is we're getting close to wrapping up. I wanted to make sure you know what to expect next. While the law firm's working on your claim, they'll be reaching out to finalize your claim, and we'll be calling you within the next couple of hours since once your file passes QA. And I will call you to transfer you to them directly and introduce you, or they may call directly to you. They may go over some of the same questions we discussed today. This is completely normal. It's part of their process to confirm all the details and ensure everything is accurate for your case. They may also need you to sign additional forms like a medical release so they can really collect records to strengthen your claim. If you see any paperwork from them, be sure to review it and return it as soon as possible to keep everything moving smoothly. Since this is a mass lawsuit, these extra steps are standard practice, and we want to make sure you're fully prepared. If you don't hear from them in the next 24 to 48 hours, I highly recommend giving them a call directly to follow up. Can you confirm you can be available to speak with them as you have with me today?
Yeah, anytime. 45 after 2 o'clock, I'll be home.
Okay. I'll make a note of that. After 2 o'clock.
Can you do me a favor and send me an email with your contact information?
Absolutely. What I'm going to do is next is I'm going to send you a text message first, and that'll be from my office. I'm in Irvine, California. And so you always have a record of who is the guy, the case intake specialist that signed you up. And then I'm going to send you another text, and that'll be a link to DocuSign, and that'll be the forms to sign. Once we complete signing, then we'll move to the next step, which is case verification directly with a law firm. Okay.
Okay.
One moment. Okay, so I just sent you a text from my office line in 949 area code. That's direct to me. As I mentioned, I'm in Irvine, California. I work Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And now you're going to get a text message with a link to the forms to sign. Once we complete signing, we'll be done. Have you ever done electronic signing?
Sure.
Perfect. You're a good candidate for this lawsuit. I'm sorry that this unfortunate circumstance even happened to you. There's plenty of scientific evidence that links non-Hodgkin's lymphomas and its various subtypes to the chemicals and Roundup. these law firms are the manufacturers are eager to take care of these cases, and these cases are growing. And so, but I do ask that you be patient, or the law firm will tell you, be patient, because these cases are, it's a little different from a class action in the sense that, like, all the plaintiffs are treated equally. In this case, like, each plaintiff is treated uniquely. And so can you imagine, like, reviewing damages case by case through the court? So it takes some time.
Well, it was nothing I pursued before, so I'm not, you know, if you guys think I'm a candidate, want to sign me up, I'll certainly acknowledge, testify, participate, but what happens, happens. I'm not going to be on the phone asking everyone for money with every day.
Yeah, I understand. I do.
Because I wasn't pursuing it to begin with, so I mean, you don't have to sign me up.
I get it. Bear with me here. I am,
And, you know, when I get back home and have a little more time, I'll see what I can pull up in the history of my chart.
Oh, perfect.
Some dates and documentation. Because I'm looking now, I could go into past visits and minutes after visit summary. So I'm sure I can go back and pull up an after visit summary that has the diagnosis on it and show you.
Right. Thank you. And that'll be helpful and you can share it with me or the law firm. Todd, by now you should have received a text message with a link to DocuSign.
Okay, which I did.
Okay, perfect. You want to click on that link. You'll have to agree to SMS messages, and you'll need to agree to electronic records and signatures, and then you can follow the yellow navigation buttons, which is going to show you on where on each page needs an initial or a signature. Fortunately, there's not a lot of pages. You're essentially about to sign a legal agreement with a firm called Pulaski Kirker, a Texas-based law firm, very, very reputable, very experienced, a national law firm. They're lead counsel on a lot of these lawsuits, so you're really in good hands. And they represent you on a contingency basis, meaning they're not paid unless they're successful in getting you compensated for damages. If in the unforeseen event they're not successful, you wouldn't owe them a penny, okay?
Okay.
And then if they are successful, of course, they're going to get paid. You're going to get 60% of the recovery, and the firm will get 40%, which is standard for a personal injury lawsuit. That's a percentage that's very standard.
Yeah, I get that.
This agreement, the Roundup Weed Killer litigation agreement, the most important thing is understanding the contingency fee agreement, that you don't owe them anything. The attorneys will pay for all costs associated with the claim. And in the event that no recovery is obtained on client's claim, attorneys will make no charges for his or her time, services, fees, court costs, or other expenses that have been advanced. So they're only paid if they're successful.
Right.
That's the agreement, plus authorization to release medical records. So the patient part is with cooperations and patients, they may ask for additional questions about usage or exposure. Keep in mind they're relying on just attestation. They're not going to ask for any evidence. But if you have any evidence to submit, like if you do find an empty bottle of Roundup in your garage, like take a picture of it, hold on to the bottle,
okay.
You know.
So, okay. All right.
If you happen to realize maybe I have I do store business receipts, or I store receipts from transactions, and you find one, that'd be great too. But if you don't, like I said, they rely on attestations.
Okay.
How are you doing on signing?
Oh, I'm supposed to be doing it now?
Yeah. I'm supposed to be walking you through and answering any questions you may have.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Once you and I are done signing, then you and I are done. However, as I mentioned to you, the case verification will occur in a day or two, today or tomorrow. And you're going to get a call from them.
Read your electronic records.
Yeah. When Pulaski calls, they're going to call you from a 909 area code. I'll text you to remind you this.
Okay.
Oh, I should say that your first contact is probably going to be the co-counsel, Robin Rainish Law. That's actually, they're going to do an intro, and then the case will be assigned to a paralegal whose specialty is really just handling medical records.
Okay. And if you want to check on your end, it looks like I signed everything.
Okay, let me see here. Bear with me here.
Since you're done signing.
Okay. Yeah, I got a confirmation. Okay, so I'm going to direct your attention back to your text message inbox, because you should have received a text from me, my direct number 949. Now I'm going to send you an important reminder.
Got it. I did.
Okay, so the name of the firm, very reputable, prestigious law firm. You're really in good hands, Pulaski Kirker. Their phone number is 909-906-3862. Actually, that number is really to Robin Rainish. They're co-counsel. They'll do what they call onboarding or welcome call, which is a case verification. Then it'll be transferred over to Pulaski Kirker, who will sit on the file with a paralegal until they get all the medical records. So that's kind of what you can expect.
What do they do then? Present individual cases to Roundup?
Yeah, it's individual cases.
Because it's not a class.
The idea is not to go to trial. So this is what they refer to as a mass tort lawsuit, kind of like a class action. When there's so many different plaintiffs that have been harmed by similar, but in various different, varying degrees, then for legal purposes, it's convenient to consolidate all these claims together into like certain very specific courts, federal courts. But when they go and make the idea is that compensation is reached before any trial occurs, they'll be able to talk more. The firm will be able to talk in greater detail about what to expect.
Okay.
All right. Any other good questions, Todd?
I don't think so. Well, like I said, when I get back home, I'll look through and see what I can pull up with some dates or diagnosis, and I'll just send them back to your email address.
Thank you.
With them what you may.
Perfect. Thank you, Todd.
All right.
Okay. I'd like to wish you a good rest of the day and good health to you and your loved ones, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care, and
okay.
Bye for now.
All right. You too.